No, you're being recorded.
One of the shortest lists. Okay, so we're going to continue with scenarios where the balabais, the one who's hiring the employer, is backing out of the job, and therefore what consequences can the worker financially, can he be reimbursed at all for the fact that he's lost a job? So last week we saw that there's such a thing as a kinyan which stops you being able to back out, and if you back out after the kinyan, obviously you still have to pay. Like if you buy a house, it's too late to back out. What's the kinyan when it comes to workers? That's the concept of hiskul b'malacha. If you've already started doing the job, that's considered like a kinyan that's taken place. Can't back out. If you back out, you still have to pay. We went a further step. That's what's called hiskul b'malacha, not necessarily physically starting the job, but making concrete preparations for the job. For example, buying the materials for the specific job which you were asked to do. That is already considered as starting the job, and it can't be backed out at that stage. Okay. Let's now go further. Let's start with a simple case. Reuven, he books a time slot to have his haircut done by a specific barber. And the time slot, he's fixed it as 7 o'clock at night, let's say. The barber writes it down and reserves that time slot for Reuven. Reuven then phones up a quarter of an hour before he was supposed to have his hair cut at 7 o'clock and tells the barber that no longer can he come for reasons he can't say, but he can't turn up at 7 o'clock for the barber. This has now meant that the barber has a gap of time which he can't fill. He's just standing around waiting for the next customer, and basically he has lost a job. Now, he never started in the Malacha, the Torah. So has he got any...
This is an actual mice that came to base then?
No, this is not a mice that comes to this. This is an actual mice which comes to Rabbonim the whole time. A type of shy that comes to this. And has the barber got any recourse to get his money back in such circumstances? He reserved a spot for somebody to have his hair cut. He backed out at the last moment. He's now lost that time slot for nothing, no reason now, he can't use it for anything, and therefore can he get a claim against Reuven for backing out at that stage?
Quarter to seven.
Any ideas?
Nothing took place. Well, I mean...
Well, he's one of these private barbers who works from his maksan.
So, I mean, what's the general policy of barbers like that? Do they usually...
Yeah, that's a standard one on the streets. But here we have these maksan ones who take by appointments only. Or you take your potluck.
He comes special from the store in order to be there for the appointments.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it might very well be that it's standard that is understood that I'm not obligated to come to the appointment if I can't make a plan to change.
Standards. How do you make something standards?
That's what's normal.
Standard
what's
bad behavior makes it bad.
like that happened to me once, and the barber was actually very appreciative that I called, because I'm not showing up, instead of just leaving them hanging there.
Mm-hmm.
So I would assume that most barbers expect that to happen.
Right, cost of doing business.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say the simple parrots to this. So the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Lamed Gimel Sif Beis says like this. When do we suggest that the only claim you have of someone backing out is you can have certain timers against the person, certain hakpodas, but nothing more than that? That's b'shelo holchu, and that's when we said, when you haven't started a job, you can't have. If you haven't started a job, the only thing you can have is timers, hakpodas, but no monetary claims. But that's true. Dafka b'shelo hayyochu lahaskel atzon emesh k'shokin balabaisa. That's when yesterday, when you were hired to do the job, you couldn't find a job in any case. He was doing a favor for you by the fact that he employed you. So you didn't lose anything. But if you could have found a job yesterday without him coming along, but now that he came along and asked you to work for him and then backs out, you can't find a replacement. How is there kadova of it? That's considered like you have lost something. But no slem sparring kapol bottle, and therefore you have to pay kapol bottle for the worker. The worker has to be paid money for the job he lost. That we said that you don't have to pay for anything, that's only in a case where he didn't lose. But if when you were asked to do the job, he could have founded somebody else, but you got him first. And then you backed out at the last moment where now he can't get replacement for you. So now basically what you've done, you took a job away from him which he could have had. So therefore you caused him to lose a job, so then you have to pay.
Well, it's only a suffix, it's not a vada he would have had.
Well, did somebody call him for that slot and he said, sorry, I can't take it because you're already absent?
That would be enough to meet him.
Yeah.
I'm calling him that. He's not bad, but somebody would call him.
So, if the scenario is like you say, and this barber is now, he's got his time slot, he works between 7 at night and 10 at night. And he gets people to phone him up from... He works in Zmachsat, he gets phoned up to get booked time slots. So this person booked the time slot at 7. And he's completely booked up from that time slot onwards. So now he's got a full rota of people, now it's completely full. And then 6:45, Reuven now phones up, who has the 7 o'clock slot, backs out at the last moment and says, look, I'm not turning up tonight. And now the barber's left with an empty time slot which he could have filled.
Well, did he turn somebody away?
In a situation where he could have filled, meaning that he had people that were phoning up and saying, sorry, I'm busy, I'm ready for. Then basically what has happened is that now he could have had the job, and by you booking him and then pulling out, you made him lose the job, and therefore you have to pay for that loss. So therefore we're saying conditions are that he's fully booked up, and he actually rejected people coming because he's booked out, and then you backed out at the last moment where now he can no longer fulfill the slots which he reserved for you. In those circumstances, then you have to reimburse him for the loss of that job.
He might not have lost the job. Let's say the guy goes up, says, I want the 7 since it's booked already. Okay, so I'll take it for tomorrow. So he didn't cause him to leave, he just caused it to be pushed off.
And then someone calling tomorrow can't get the job.
It
could be a grubber.
The question is, the only thing that confuses is, oh, you can't do it now, I'll go somewhere else. That's the only time that he's lost completely. So the question is, did that happen?
Yeah, so we have to see, is he a person who's always booked up? And and he always fills up his slots. So therefore, the fact that you back out, you now have lost that job, that client. So we have two scenarios where you may have lost the client. Either he's somebody who's always booked up, and here, by you backing out, he's now got an extra time slot which he can't use, and he doesn't get paid for, so now you cause him to lose that time slot. Or, like you said, you have a customer phoning up, I want a haircut tonight. I need it tonight. Let's say it's just before the Omer. Last time you have a haircut. Yeah? So you say, I'm fully booked up, so now he goes to somebody else. Because you backed out, I lost that client who I could have had, but you already booked and reserved that place. Now I lost that client totally. By you backing out at the last moment, I can't replace it. So therefore you have to pay for the damage that you did by pulling out at the last moment. Now I lost a client, which I could never now achieve. So we have two scenarios where you backing out has caused him to lose a client, and now you have to reimburse him for losing that client.
So this is only, this even though there was no Kenyan, correct?
Even no Kenyan take place. Just so words. Why? I'm reserving the 7 o'clock slot for my haircut.
So why, if we're dealing with not Sfiras Parvah, but we're dealing with sales goods, is it only Mishapara?
We'll see soon.
Okay.
Can you?
The Bala can overbook people and fit you in.
Yes. So it depends what's we saw that depends what you lose. At the beginning shirim we discussed, when it's the other way round, then the recourse is that if he's causing a loss for the balabais, then he's got recourse of something sokolem amatim, which means he can entice you to take him by saying I'm going to pay double wages, but never actually pay those double wages. He's got recourse that way. But in this case, the recourse of the worker is that he's lost a job, you cause him to lose a job, then you have to reimburse him for that job. Now, how much do you have to reimburse him? How much do you have to reimburse him? Why the whole amount? He lost the whole amount? Did he lose the whole amount? You pulled out, he lost the whole amount?
He had costs. He would have had to spend money on the hairspray and on, you know, cleaning, air conditioning. So you could subtract the cost.
Ah, so that's the first thing you subtract, cost.
But we didn't do that by the dentist.
Cost. And now it's explaining how much you have to pay. The first thing you now have to pay, because you backed out and caused him to lose the job. How much do you have to pay? He didn't do the job. So of course he doesn't have to pay for any costs which would involve in doing the job, because at the end of the day, he never had those costs. That's obvious. Now sometimes those costs are minimal, like in the barber case, and therefore we're not going to be much of a cut off his wage. But sometimes
but
those
barber
costs
charges less than dentists also. So
sometimes those costs are substantial. Like a dentist may have substantial costs in doing the job, and the profit is, like say, only half the wage, and rest is costs. So of course, when somebody backs out at the last moment and causes him to lose a job which he can't replace, which he has to pay, but he doesn't have to pay for the costs because he never incurred the costs. He would only have to pay for the wage. Now, is there anything else do we cut off the wage?
I would say there are different types of haircuts. So you were going to get the haircut that included the shampoo. The next customer would have only got a plain haircut, so you only have to pay the cheapest haircut price, not the one that you would have got. Or cheapest.
Right, so that's the next thing we do. We're saying, well, you lost the job. What job did you lose? He's taking a fancy haircut. He's having a customer. He's taking a customer haircut. Costs 80 shekel. Standard haircut. 35 shekel. So you can't say, well, I lost an 80 shekel job here. No, you never had. What's the likelihood you lost another chosen? You didn't lose another chosen. You may have lost another standard job. So you lost 35 shekels. So we can only look at 35 shekels as your loss. plus you lost three, you didn't have to spend 3 shekels on the material. So we can only look at 35 minus 3, 32 shekel. 32 shekel you lost.
You look at the lowest or you look at the average?
At the lowest normal, not lowest like abnormal. Standard lowest job. Standard. So we have to hear every time what of the circumstances did he lose. Because we're saying it's only called losing if you had a customer there which had to turn away because you reserved that spot. And now you backed out, now you can't find it. So I have to hear what type of customer did you turn away that you say you lost. Yeah. Now, that's the second issue. So materials you can't charge him for, and you can't charge him for your expensive job. We have to work out exactly what job you lost. That's the third issue.
If you turned away another customer, so then he would have to pay the higher price?
Yes, but then you have to prove that he lost that customer. Yes?
I'm just saying, customer called it.
Yes. Now, there's a third issue we have to take into account, how much you pay. Anyone got an idea? So far, it's materials. You have to can't charge for materials. Secondly, you can't charge for his job. You have to charge for the job which he lost.
Well, he said, Mom, I'm going to say income taxes. Meaning he would have had to pay income tax on his profit,
That's part of the cost.
Part of the cost.
Okay. I think you're being very optimistic, by the way.
There is a third issue. Of course, when we talk about these cases, I'm talking about a barber, but it can be a big case as well. It doesn't have to be. These klalim, these issues, can talk about huge jobs and still apply. But the third issue you have to take into account is at the end of the day, he didn't have to exert himself. He just sat down and took it easy.
Save money on the therapist.
Right, there's a certain amount that the person is willing to pay not to work.
Yeah. So that's why he had a day off, or a 5 minute slot off, or 10 minute slot off in that case. So you can't charge the 32 shekels which you wanted to charge. That 32 shekels is only if you do and exert yourself in doing a job. Here, you exert yourself having a rest. So that's called exerting yourself. So therefore, you can't say, oh, you lost 32 shekels. No, because you also gained by me backing out by having a time off.
Some people like doing their jobs. They don't want to do nothing. As he said, you might need a therapist for being depressed now. I mean, you might, you know, that's subjective.
So, Chazal says it's not subjective. The Gemara says, you pay kapol bottle. What's kapol bottle? Kapol bottle means, it's like how much somebody in your position will be prepared to take a cut in wages not to do this job. Everyone needs to get panosis, so everyone's going to do jobs. But if you tell him you cannot do a job and still get paid, how much is he willing to not do a job and still get paid? What is he willing to take a cut but not to exert himself in doing the job?
You know it's above welfare because otherwise everyone would stop working.
Yeah, has to be above the minimum.
The government would give you a bit on the job.
Now, what is kapol bottle? How's basically going to work it out? Every person, like you say, is different. So unless it's obvious, the Taz says that the figure we hit it at is half.
Whoa.
We take up half.
Really?
Unless it's obvious that your type of job, people won't take such a big cut. If it's not obvious, and some will, some won't, and some will, it's not obvious to us, so we can fix it at, the Taz says, half the job.
Half of the net profit or half of the total price?
Half of the total price.
So I could end up with nothing. Because if my cost is 50%, then there goes everything.
No, I meant total wage, not the cost. Sorry.
Oh, so the net after the cost.
So in our scenario, 32 shekel, which he lost, it ends up, if it's not clear, so it'll be 16 shekels he can charge for the fact that you backed out at the last moment and caused me to lose a job.
Where did the Taz get that from?
Very interesting silence. Very good question. Where's the source of it? Okay, it's the Taz. That's good enough for us. But where did the Taz get it from? It's not very clear. It's something, I think it's more of, it's a corner which Chazal instituted. Look, it's unclear. Let's say, Momun Hamutal Busofik, Tolkien, whenever you have a doubt, you split it. Yeah, it's not clear to us how much you would take for a loss in order to sit and do nothing. So we say, okay, it's a Sofik, so let's split it. That type of concept. Okay, so that's the simple case, and now you can apply it to your scenarios. Now, let's move on to a case which did take place in baseball. Shimon signs up his daughter to go to an official gun for the year. I'm coming to gun. Sending my daughter to gun. Okay? Are you sure? Yes. Now, they have filled up all the slots of the gun. And a month before the year was supposed to start, it backs out. Shimon says, sorry, we're no longer going to send our daughter to gun. The reason being is that we changed our mind. We want to keep her at home for another year. We think it's more suitable to be at home for another year rather than sending to gun. The gun turned around and say, look, we have filled up our slots and now you're backing out. You're causing us a loss. If we cannot find replacements in the next month, we want you to pay for that slot because you can't back out at this stage. We asked you, are you coming? You said yes. So the gun want them to pay for the whole year because at the end of the day, the gun could not find a replacement such a late stage. And the parent says, look, I never signed anything. It's just words. I didn't mean anything bad. And why should I have to pay such enormous sum of money if I'm not getting any benefits?
And the guy never set any standards in terms of when you have to let them know?
No.
Guidelines or anything?
No. Didn't sign anything.
No, I'm saying did they say anything like, you know...
Are you coming? You are coming, and we're fixing your place that you are coming. But they didn't say, are the consequences if you bank out at this stage or that stage or that stage. Right. They didn't say, speak out, what would be the consequences.
It's like the barber case. You factor in the costs, you know, deduct the costs, you know, what they would have had to pay having the child, and then tell them what the right price is.
Yeah, but I'm saying, at what point? Is it a month, 2 months, 3 months? I mean, you can't, I would say you need guidelines. If you don't,
replacement, that's a good guideline.
So I'm saying, no, 4 months. You cancel. When they have 4 months to find a kid. They don't find one.
But
so
if they were already turned people away, that's the criteria.
So very good. You already notice a difference between this case and the barber. The barber was a situation where it was at the last moment. And here we got a month. But as you pointed out, if the guidelines is that they turn people away and they lost clients because of you, and they can't find a replacement now after you backed out, so in theory we have all the criteria in order to say that you're obligated to pay according to how much you pay, like we already defined before. So then you're saying, but it doesn't make really much sense. A month, 2 months, we can have a situation 5 months and still have the same
place. Why not? If they're full, both places will be full 5 months in advance. Forget it's really a popular place, and they really were full 5 months in advance, and they turn people away, and then all of a sudden no one else is signing up after you back up. They really have had a loss because of you.
Yeah, but there has to be a...
Okay. We got feelings, we got sense. Sometimes feelings win, in a sense. Now, so, there are two reasons given for this halacha. That if you back out and you cause him to lose the job, you have to pay. We haven't discussed the reasoning so far. All he just said is that he said some words. There was no contract, there was no kinyan, nothing started. He said some words, I'm coming. He backed out. By backing out, he's caused him to lose a job. You have to pay. Why? What are the reasons why you have to pay? So, Tosis says like this. So number two, Tosis says, Tashulari, Haikaim Lonkara Meir. We paskin light Rameya in Shas. In this case, the Don Dina de Gami. That whole Rameya holds, there's a concept of Gami. That you're chayv to pay if you cause indirect damage, but if that indirect damage is for sure going to happen, you're going to have to pay. A concept of Gami. Of damages. So, imkena milo yitinei kapo bottle, kibin shayde yoto nisbato osa hayom. Why, if you pull out of a job before he starts, don't you have to pay? So he says, yesh loba, tomorrow kashu chosaba odium salistaka. Because we're talking about a situation where you didn't cause him to lose anything, because he can find a replacement. If you back out in a situation where you can find the replacement, then you haven't damaged him. But, according to Tosis, if you back out in a situation where you can't find a replacement, then you are chayv to pay. Why? Because of a concept of gami, which is paying damages. Damages! You damaged him by you backing out. That's how Tosis understands the reason for payment when you back out and cause him to lose a job, because you are called a somebody who's damaged him. Concept of Gami, you damage his money. The Muki Yosef, number three, gives a different reason. He says like this. Belo Hochu, Nami, even if you haven't started the job, Kol She'ikven V'Sidon Skiris Osayom, if you lose a client because of him, Chayv Balabais, the Balabais has to pay. Why? Not because of damages. Tahavi Dova Ha'ovid Ulehem. Because of Dova Ovid. What does Dova Ovid mean? What does Dova Ha'ovid mean? So the Nesivus explains, it means a special Tokona Chazal, a special Tokona that we do for the worker. That if the Balabais, the employer, backs out, and by him backing out, he causes you to lose the job, then there's a tekona, which Chazal says, we're going to make sure that he has to reimburse you for that loss. But not because there's damages here. It's because he lost the job, and lost the job. We make an institution of a tekona that you have to reimburse for causing him a loss. Even though halakhically, without this institution, he wouldn't have to pay for anything. Now, does anybody know what would be the difference whether the reason why you pay is because of damages, or gami, or whether the reason why you pay is because of a tekona, a special tekona? What would be the difference if the reason why you pay it when you back out is because you damaged him, or the reason why you pay because of a special tekona?
I would suggest that damaging would apply to an institution even if no one loses the job. So I'm thinking that tekona might only apply if literally someone's going to get fired as a result of this person not coming. And maybe, therefore, in the Gan case, it would be harder to apply than the Muki Yosef's reasoning if no one's going to lose their job.
And damages is what?
Definitely are damages. They're the payroll of the financial strength of the school is now going to be hurt. There's less books available to buy, less playground equipment. Something's going to have to cut in order to manage without that income.
Mm-hmm. Any other ideas?
Well, a takana would only apply in a specific case that the takana was made for.
The takana was made for when a employer backs out, and therefore now means that the worker has no replacement for the job which he could have had.
Okay, so that's a one-way takana. It was reversed, then takana wouldn't apply.
No, but we're talking about this way round. It's our scenario.
If there's damages, it would apply both ways.
Okay, well, do you see any relevance to our case, the difference between a takana and damages?
I
Now, if you remember from our early shiurim, when we talked about the concept of gami, that you're paying for damages because of gami, we said, what's the difference between gami and groma? Groma means consequential damages which you don't have to pay for. Gami is also consequential damages, but you do have to pay for. What makes the difference from something being gami, which you pay, and groma, which you don't pay? What's the difference? What defines, what's the line which says, this is not groma, this is gami? Both of them are consequential damages. What defines it as being gami and not groma, that you have to pay?
It's definitely
gami. Gami is if it's definitely going to happen. Now, so we're saying that when the employer backs out, he has to pay for the worker losing the job because he has damaged him because of gami, which means his backing out definitely caused him a loss. That's what we're saying. If it's a takana, that Chazal said, well, he lost the job because of you, there is no concept of it has to be at the time of backing out that you definitely lost the job. We just have to look at the end result. And the end result is, he had a job, you backed out, he has no job, he couldn't replace it, and he's lost that job.
This is the opposite of what I said.
And therefore it's mamish the opposite of what you said. Very good. That now we're saying that if you hold the reason is because of gami you pay, that's only true that at the time of backing out, you definitely caused him a loss by backing out. But if the reason is because of takana, then we don't look just at the time of backing out. We look at what happens at the end. The end result was he lost the job because you backed out. So therefore we make a takana, you have to reimburse.
So if it was the day before, would we say then it's definitely?
So therefore, if it's a month before, we want to know, you back out in our case, a month before the gun starts. Is that, do we say there's definitely a causing a loss to the gun by you backing out a month before or not?
Well, how definite is definite? Even with barber, it's not definite. Somebody could walk in,
no, could walk in
5 minutes
pull
before,
up,
you know.
So, how do you look at definite in the case of the gun? So, we ask one question to the gun people. And
previous
that was
registrations, last year when everyone signed up?
No. Easier question. And this should resolve the issue. And that is, we asked them, in that 1 month of time, did you get any inquiries to get people to be registered at all? If you get even inquiries,
then it's not definite.
Then that shows that it wasn't definite. That you're going to lose. Even though at the end they never actually took you on, but it shows there was still a potential to get a replacement. So if they answer, we had inquiries, but we didn't get in the end any one trip in the field, then we'll say, well, according to Tosis, that the Chiyuv is only because when you backed out, you caused definite damages. So now, it's not definite when you backed out, because you had at least inquiries. Maybe you could have fulfilled it, at the end you didn't. So we can't say that you have to pay because it wasn't definite when you backed out. But if the reason is because of Tukonis Chazal, that they say, we look at the end and say, because of you, he never had that job which you promised him as having. Therefore, at the end of the day, you did cause him to lose a job, so then you have to pay. It's a machlokas. Tosis and the Mukhi Yosef. Cause it's a machlokas, if the scenario is not definite, we would have to say, Hamotzi Machavera Olav Haraya, and we wouldn't be able to force the money to go out of his pocket because of Tosis' opinion.
And if you already paid, you wouldn't force it back.
And if you already paid, you wouldn't force it back. And if you part paid, whatever you paid, they can keep, and whatever they haven't paid, then you can't force them.
If the gun forced you to sign that if I pull my child out, I will pay the full year's tuition,
yeah, that's different.
Is that enforceable even though they could easily get somebody else to fill the spot. In other words, you signed it. This is actual.
Hey, you're responsible.
It's a school that does that.
Just about all
4 months before, they make you sign when you register your child. Mm-hmm. I pull out, I am fully responsible for the year's tuition. It doesn't matter if they replace, can find a replacement, can't find a replacement without it.
If that's the only line they write, then it's going to depend a bit on what happens at the end of the thing. Meaning, did they receive any losses because you backed out? Or did they receive no losses? Meaning that they fulfilled all their quota and you didn't cause them to lose anything, but we're still now getting double money, so to speak. So then it comes into issues of asmachta, meaning that I'm promising to give you something which you don't really deserve, and I haven't got any benefit in return for it, which is, we'll have a few shirim on that issue. And therefore you have to write, if the gun wants to write such a clause, they have to write it in a certain fashion in order to be halakhically enforceable.
But you did get a benefit for it.
What benefits you got?
You
accepted your child.
And that's all benefits.
Why?
Then you're no longer going.
Yeah, but
it was
a
benefit.
That time,
it was
at that time,
yeah.
You know, you got a benefit.
That's all called a benefit. You didn't use it.
If you get a plane ticket and you choose not to go on the plane, it was still a benefit. You just didn't fly.
Yeah, that's not service. You bought something. You decided not to use what you bought. Then fine. It's too late.
There's no benefit in your child knowing your child accepted in the school that
if you can put it on the CV that I was accepted in the school.
But if there was no benefit,
so
I
he just got.
Why would I sign off on that if I wasn't getting a benefit out of it?
Because you wanted your child to go there.
So I got something I want. That's a benefit.
Because you wanted your child to go to this school.
Right.
This was the school that was nearest to your house, and this was therefore what you wanted. Another school just opened up 2 months later, and now you see that it's more beneficial for you to go there.
But you had a Kenyan contract.
Well, Kenyan.
Let's say instead of this course, they insisted on a non-refundable deposit.
Ah, so we'll get there. That's a different issue. So, we've established that at the time of you backing out, it wasn't for sure causing them a loss. Then it enters into a machlokas between the Rishonim, and therefore whoever's holding the money will keep the money in such a case.
Wait, what if they were holding the whole tuition rent?
Oh,
we have to go back and return what wasn't the cost. Like even said, even if you were chayiv to pay them, you still have to, so we have to subtract the costs and subtract, so maybe they have to return those parts.
Certainly, yes. Yeah. Now, let me now say a bit more now. What happens if it was 2 days before gun starts and you phoned up and said, I'm no longer going to gun? No longer sending my kids to gun 2 days before. Now, for sure, even according to Tosus, you have now, by backing out at such a late stage, you definitely have caused them a loss.
Well, did they get an increase?
They didn't get
anything.
2 days.
Aside from, if you guys mochel on these losses that you don't have to pay, I'm just saying, listen.
If he's mochel belated.
No, I'll give an example. I one time made an appointment with Sharab, and I canceled 2 hours before my appointment. I said, is that okay? And they said, yeah, it's fine. Now, I don't know if they asked the doctor if it was okay, but I'm just saying, but he probably didn't fill it up with it, you know. I mean, maybe he did, but maybe he didn't. But
if that's their policy, then fine. If it's not their policy, and really the doctor's losing, and they're saying fine on the cheshbon of the doctor, so then it's not okay.
I have to look into that, or it's their responsibility.
Depends what type of person we're speaking to. The similar shy that comes up in, you go to the supermarkets and then you say, look, I by mistake underpaid 5 shekel last time, and the person at the desk, the till, says it's okay.
Yeah. The person at where?
The cashier.
Oh, the cashier?
She says okay. That doesn't mean anything, because the cashier says it's okay. Because who's she to say it's okay?
Yeah, the people that run the Sharaf department, you know,
if they're the manal, the one that had the
it wasn't the manal.
certain positions have certain authorities to give you this leeway. Now, so we backed out 2 days before, for sure your course lost. But slightly different scenario. What would be, okay, you backed out 2 days before, and they had a placement available in the gun for 20 kids, and you were number 19. And they didn't get number 20. You got number 19. 19 kids. And you backed out 2 days beforehand, where for sure they've lost number 19.
Well, they didn't have number.
But you didn't 19. Stop anyone else from going, because there was still room for anyone else that wanted to call.
How do you have to pay anything over there?
You're number 19.
In other words, they weren't full up. So I didn't cause them to lose somebody else.
You lost them number 19. There were 18 people. You were number 19. And by backing out, you lost the number 19.
But no one, see, no one so couldn't register because of you.
Right, like.
And some, no, somebody phoned up before. Yes, but they didn't
register. But there was room for him.
Yeah, there was room, yes.
It's not your fault.
So it's like a case in the poll, and they wouldn't be able to find a job anyway.
Yes. So you were saying you couldn't have to pay in some cases.
Right.
That's an obvious halakha. If you look in the Minchas Fasim, it says like this: that high dinner shayat gabi po. This whole dinner backing out at the last moment is only if you are a pole, a worker. The gam below hiska malacha jachosba balabayas akshav ena motzli saka. By backing out, he can't find a replacement. Then for sure you have to pay. But this whole thing doesn't apply by kablan. Why? The whole halakha is if you lose a job. You could have found a job. Because of you, I can't find a job. But the kablan, im ho yomotzi old kablanis, ho yilo lo kabel kabken. He could have easily filled up. You didn't stop him hiring other people. Therefore, your job didn't stop him having other people come to him, and therefore, by you backing out, you didn't cause him a loss. So if it's a type of job that a person can do whenever he likes, like, for example, a tailor.
Yeah.
I asked the tailor to make me a coat, baggage, garments. And I back out at the last moment. Yes? Now he can't find replacements. But what do you mean he can't find replacements? I never cause him a job to lose, because a tailor by definition can do the job whenever he likes, at his own time, own pleasure, and therefore I didn't cause him to lose a potential client, because any client who should come on, he could have accepted at any time. So the condition that we're saying, that when you back out, we're out, and you cause him to lose a job, it must be that you cause him to lose a job. That's obvious, like you're saying.
But what about the school ordered things for the child? Because you said you're coming, like we had with last week with the dentist special equipment.
You have to pay for the costs of those materials, but nothing more. So this whole halakha only applies if the person's full up. And because of you, he turned away a client, then you have to compensate him. If it's for sure going to happen because of you backing out, you lost the client.
Wait a minute, the school ordered materials, isn't that like starting a job there?
It depends. No, if the materials is on a general basis, yes? Not for specifically for you, that's not called starting a job. Okay, so that's an obvious halakha. Now let's move on. You back out, and not only you back out.
You take the rest of the class with you.
But the whole job was only, let's say, we have a minimum for us to start this school, we need 5 kids in the class. To start the whole school, we need 5 kids. We have 5 kids. And then the fifth kid backs out. And because the fifth kid backs out, we can't start the school. Which means the Rebbe, which we hired to do the job, loses his job.
And the other four kids lose their class.
What is the school's obligation in respect to the Rebbe? And what are their claims against the person who backed out, number five? Number five backed out a month before. Yeah? Five people needed to start the job. We got five people, we'll hire Rebbe, sign. Very good. Hire Rebbe. But a month before the school, number five backed out. Because of that, we only have four kids. No point starting the school. Okay, Rebbe, we have to say goodbye to you. What's the responsibility of the school into the Rebbe, and what's the school's claim against the number five guy who backed out?
Did the Rebbe know it needed five students to operate? And was that a condition in his contract?
He knew five students to operate and said, we've got five students. Fine, so that's my good. Go ahead.
I think it should be the same. I mean, the fact that I, saying my kid, you know, I don't know that they didn't tell me, okay, you're number five, and if you leave, then the school's going to close, and then everything's going to fall apart. I'm signing up my kids. So because they didn't get more kids and they weren't successful in their, you know, recruitment, doesn't mean that I also now have to start paying the Rebbe and this and that. I would be the same type of whatever he owed initially. And in terms of the school paying the Rebbe, okay, that could be a separate thing, and that maybe they have some responsibility towards that. But I don't think it should be placed on me, Dafka, just because I was number five. I happen to be number five, but that doesn't make it that I become now responsible for the whole school.
Mm-hmm. The question is, does everyone know the conditions? Meaning, does the parent know that this school only happened because then when they back out, they know they're causing the school to close?
They know that the school's only going to start with five. The number five guy came and said, okay, I'm number five, the school's going to start. Yes? A month before, he backs out.
And he knows he's number five. And
he knows he's number five and he backs out.
Number three was back out.
Same thing.
No, it's it. Still number five. The five isn't limited. There's a kid in the GAN, if he's number 20 and 20 is the cutoff and they're taking people away from him, they're fine.
Right.
Five, surely with the school, they'll take more than five.
Oh yeah, for sure they'll take more than five. The minimum is five. We're talking the other way around. They've got the minimum. And you're backing out knowing that they can't operate by you backing out. Do you have more responsibility to the school in those kinds of circumstances?
Again, the fact that they... Because they're not getting enough money from tuition, or because of the number of kids they just can't. In other words, if I said, I'm backing out, but I'll pay you tuition with this school...
Yes, yes, it's because they haven't got enough money.
It's not a viable operation.
The most I have to pay is what I am backing, just my tuition. I don't have to pay for everybody else.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You're stopping the school. Yeah. So, has anyone come to a conclusion here?
The same case. I should have to pay the tuition because you can't get someone else to replace me.
No, I'm saying if they were able to, again, if they turned down
before.
No, I'm saying if, again, it's the same type of thing. If they had any more inquiries and no one came. So, okay, so he's responsible for, you know, like we said before. But, you know, he's not responsible anymore.
Now, we can't say it's like the same as before. Because when they answered the question and said, no, in that whole month we didn't have anyone phoning up, is it because because you couldn't find somebody at that stage because it was too late? Or is it because you're a new school and no one's interested in you?
Right.
What's the difference?
Big difference. Is my backing out for sure going to cause you damage? Because you're backing out at a late stage where it's impossible to find a replacement. Or I'm backing out where you can find replacements, but you have to do good advertisements, you have to work hard on it, and you don't necessarily do your job working hard on it to find a replacement. Because you didn't work hard on finding replacements, I have to be responsibility of that, because you didn't do your job of finding a replacement for me. Then just answering, in this case, no one inquired, won't be good enough for us. Because maybe they didn't file because you didn't do good advertisements.
In the first case, they didn't have to do their establish either. They could just sit
there.
Yeah,
they're well established, gone, and then they had.
They don't have to look for someone. They could just sit back, and even though they're well established.
So they advertise like they normally advertise.
Okay, so I'm saying whatever the normal establish is
a new place has to go over and aboard.
I think whatever's normal for like a new gun, whatever the normal.
So therefore, we would have to investigate, saying that is what's the reason why you had no inquiries. And if the end of the day, then the reason is that there's no inquiries is because there wasn't enough awareness of your school, or the you didn't do enough in studies in getting people to come to your school, then you can't blame that on the person who backed out, and you won't be able to have a claim against him. Now, what's the responsibility of the school in respect to the rebbe?
It depends what the contract was. I mean, did the rebbe know that? Okay, I know. You know, they're going to need five people, you know.
He knew that need five people, and he said, you've got five people.
Well, did he start?
Okay, but
if he didn't start doing the job.
No start doing the job, no.
Okay, but he knows the risk that if one backs out, that he's out of the job also. I think
that's his claim. He said, I could have gone to, if I would known earlier, I could have got my services elsewhere.
However, he knows this. He knows that it's people back out of schools and this and that. So he knows that there is a possibility that someone's going to back out and they don't be out of a job. So if he accepts a job based on those, on that.
Working for a new school is risky.
He knows what he's getting into, so I think there's some, you know, responsibility in that respect.
Okay. So it says the Shulchan Aruch like this, number 5. Hasokas apola hashkis hasota mizahana. You hire a worker to water the fields. Uposik na bachatzi ayom, and then it was impossible to water the fields because the river disappeared. Im ein darker lahasik, if it's not normal for the river to disappear like that. Oh, I feel it's a darker lipstick, or even if it's normal, and the worker knows that it's possibility of that, then proceed to the poll, the worker has to accept the loss. The balabais doesn't have to give him anything. Even if the balabais also knows it's possible that it pull out. But if the worker doesn't know the possibility of the river disappearing, a balabais yodea, and the balabais knows that possibility, knows to know scar kapal bottle, then he has to pay. So the bottom line of Shulchan Aruch says that even if an onus happens that prevents me hiring you, it depends if that onus I know is likely and you don't know it's likely, then I have to compensate you for that. So if the employer, knows that it's a possibility the school won't get off the ground, but the worker is not given that impression when he was hired that that's an option, then the school will have to take the responsibility of paying the worker's wages to Pol Bottle for the whole year. But if there was no impression given to the Rebbe that this is a done deal and you've got a job for next year and don't have to worry and there's no limitations, yeah, it's just okay, we're a new school, we've got five, we've got a class, be a rapper, then he knows what he's getting himself into, a potential problem, so then the school won't have responsibility in respect to the rapper.
I think there's a difference between this and the case of the rapper, because here by Dinar something happened and the Pole can't do his job.
Correct.
The Rebbe can still do his job. I'll teach the four kids. Pay me.
The Rebbe was told, clearly, that we don't need a Rebbe for four kids. We need a Rebbe for five kids.
You may not need one, but I'm still willing to do it.
No, it's not. No,
by
it's
the
not.
The Pole can't do his job.
It's not going to be open unless they have
because the Rebbe people. Knows that the school doesn't exist under five kids. He knows five kids is a school. Under five kids, there's no need for a Rebbe. So he knows now that if there's only four kids,
that's the risk he's taking.
The problem here is not that there was no need for a Powell.
There was no need.
The Pope couldn't do what he was supposed to do. I still need the water.
Okay. There's a similar case in the Gemara, which is like your case, which says, is that if the rain comes down in the night, and now waters the fields, I don't really need you, because I've got the job already done.
Okay.
And still the halacha is the same, that it depends whether it's something which the Pole would know about or not. So therefore, the end of the day, the Balabayas had to pay the Rebbe, because the impression... The school had to pay the Rebbe, because the impression it gave to the Rebbe was, is that this, we're hiring you, this is a safe job, don't have to worry. Because that's how they enticed him in the first, because which Rebbe would go to a school which is starting up fresh and take the charge when he's already established? Because the school says, look, we've got financial way of supporting the school, and therefore you don't have to worry about it. And that was the impression given to the Rebbe. So therefore, that even although an onus happens, that a student was taken out and now the school can't survive, the school has to still take responsibility for supporting that Rebbe, because he didn't know that that was a possibility under the terms of his contract.
So, yeah, let's say this took place in the United States, where every Rebbe knows that he may never get paid, because schools always don't have money. That would be a different case?
It's not that he doesn't get paid. He gets paid, he's just owed money. It's different.
There are enough places where they never get paid.
And the Rebbe always continues, because he
because
knows...
Because he's willing to take the risk.
So but no, it's not risk, it's building up. It's risk of going into a situation where you owe me money. And eventually, one day, maybe I'll get compensated for what I did. Not that I risk I've got no job here. It's a different type of risk. Yeah?
Okay.
So, homework for next week. Last time. Reuven. Let's go to Reuven. Is getting married. It's Chosson. He's now interested in hiring out a band for his chasna. He visits one, he goes to a chasna of one of his friends. The band plays very well. He inquires, what is the name of this band? And it's written, Yosef Ben Shimon, band leader. Fine. He goes out of the hall, he sees a van which says Yosef Ben Shimon, band, and he takes down the number, because that's the one he wants to hire for his chasna. He phones up Yosef Ben Shimon, and they take down the details, they book, fine, everything's good, he's going to be his band of music for his chasna. And part of the conditions, you have to give a deposit for the job. So he gave a deposit down for the job already up front. A few weeks later, he goes to another chasna, and he sees the same bands which he saw in the first chasna playing. Yosef Ben Shimon. He stays to the end, and he goes up to Yosef Ben Shimon and says, nice to meet you in person. Now, suddenly, I put, yes, so who are you? I put you for chasna. I said, what's your name? My name's Reuven. So Reuven, so he said, when did you book? So he said, such and such. He looks in his diary and says, I've got a booking, but it's not Reuven, it's somebody else. So what had happened, now it's revealed that the original chasna he went to was a chasna which had two halls, and there were two chasnas going on, and there were two bands playing, and both bands were Yosef Ben Shimon. And what he had done, he'd gone out of the hall and he'd taken the number of the other bands down. Now, he doesn't want to take the other bands because they're not as good as this band. So he wants to back out of the deal. The other one says, look, the deal's a deal. You hired me, you booked me, and I've got your money. Therefore, I want the deal to go through.
How do I do that?